I'm speaking today with Karen Durr, candidate for City Council at-large number one this November. Karen, I usually start people off by asking why they're running for the office in question, but I'm going to come back to that in a second and ask you a different question to start off. People know that you were originally going to run for the District H council seat in the special election in May, and then you wound up missing the filing deadline for that and switched over to this race later on. So I guess the first question I have to ask is, what exactly happened with that?
Well, Charles, I'm glad you said that I missed it and not I forgot it, because it certainly wasn't a case of, oops, I forgot to file. We started very early in that race. We announced the day after the general elections were over in November. We were running hard with our heads down, mostly volunteer staff, and tried to find out about filing early in this year. And at that time, if everybody remembers, the election was not actually called to fill the unexpired seat. That was for the special election. So kept going to the city secretary's office, and they said, for now, all we can give you are the state documents that tell you what to do. And in that case, it if you calculated what they the state would have done, it would have been March 9th as the filing deadline. Asterisk, the city might come back and change this. Well, they did. But there was really no mechanism to call candidates who had not really filed yet, except for their treasurer's designations, to say, hey, the city's going to has changed the filing deadline. And we weren't notified, didn't catch it in time, didn't have someone on staff that goes down to the courthouse to the city hall every single week, which we do now have. So it was a miscalculation of the deadline based on information that we started working on really too soon, because if everybody remembers, the calling of that election was delayed for a couple of different it's more like about 4 weeks that it was delayed and even a lawsuit was filed. So we're experienced now.
Okay. So with that out of the way, why are you running for this office?
Well, I'm running for the same reasons that I began to run in the first place. My concerns are neighborhood concerns. My career has been in neighborhoods. I do have a pretty vast experience in business and entrepreneurship, but my business experience has been working in neighborhoods. I've formed some pretty clear ideas about what I believe makes good neighborhoods work, and I want to help neighborhoods throughout the city. And I truly believe that these neighborhood concerns are really for today economic development concerns for Houston.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about that. You say you want to make neighborhoods work. What isn't working right now from the perspective of city governance?
Number one is, and as you, I don't know if you'll find other candidates say the same thing, but as you get into your race, you always have issues that make you say why I'm running. And one of those was crime and neighborhood patrolling. And as you run, you become more concerned about even more things, which I have, but crime was really one of the main reasons I got into the race and felt like that I needed to advocate for decentralized policing and neighborhood patrolling. I've worked to get that in my own neighborhood where I live, and I've seen neighborhoods all over Houston who are able to scrape up the money. It's not always wealthy neighborhoods, but who scrape up the money for an additional neighborhood patrol, and it impacts their quality of life immensely. And I think all Houston neighborhoods should have HPD patrolmen who are assigned to their neighborhood, who they know by name and who know who lives in the neighborhood. That's my dream for Houston neighborhoods.
Okay. Obviously, other neighborhood issues have to do with things like development codes and issues with density and sprawl and whatnot. And right now, the city is working on a new ordinance to revamp what they call Section 42, the form-based codes.
Right.
what's your take on that, and how do you think this will help or not help existing neighborhoods in Houston?
You know, we can work on, of course, I'm going to work on that. I think neighborhoods to a large degree should be self-directed. I mean, I'm a big fan of neighborhoods stepping up and pulling together and saying, we want to save these structures, or we don't want to save these structures, we want a minimum lot size, or we don't. I mean, it's worked out well for different neighborhoods going completely opposite directions. But I think the main thing that will help Houston neighborhoods, and in particular the older urban neighborhoods, is to have good school participation. You know, we need to do things to help our dropout rate, to help with crime, and that's going to make other areas even more desirable for building infill, and we won't be fighting over the few urban neighborhoods we have in the city of Houston that have schools that are well attended and well respected and have a decent crime rate. It seems like developers fight over the same little pieces of land when there's a lot of areas that need redevelopment close in that don't have historic structures and would relish and welcome development. So that's really my goal for my time on City Council, is to improve neighborhoods all around Houston.
Well, I mean, as someone who's obviously been in the real estate business for years, how do you, from a city government point of view, what should the city be doing to try and encourage development in areas that, you know, need it more, you know, to get them away from the, you know, the same old hot pieces of property that they're fighting over, or, you know, to aim them at, you know, places that could benefit more from new development. How do you, as a city council member, encourage that?
Well, part of that's going to be to advocate for and to be on board with transit-oriented development, and some of that, thank goodness, is already on the books to happen in neighborhoods that I think are excited about it. There's always some little bumps in the road when transit, and in this case I'm talking about light rail, comes through. But I think for the most part, the next legs of the light rail are going to be better received, and it's not going to impact small businesses as adversely as the north-south line did, and I think it's going to be great for close-in Houston neighborhoods. And that plus, I really want to advocate for connecting the bike trails to those lines. I mean, a lot's going to stem from that. And I just think better connectivity of different neighborhoods around Houston are going to make development a lot easier. I will go back to something that the mayoral candidates talk about a lot, and everybody scratches their head and goes, what do city council members and mayors have to do with schools? But I truly believe that what's going on in a community to support the lives of youth in a community does have something to do with school and does have something to do with crime rate, and it just goes on and on and on in kind of a pebble effect from the kind of neighborhood quality of life that the city provides for youth and school-aged children. So I think that also is going to be enhanced by easy transit where you don't have to have a car, maybe go to an after-school job. I think it's going to enhance small businesses along those transit corridors so that kids can get jobs close to home. I think that's going to make them have more pride in their specific neighborhood, dream about buying a house in their home neighborhood. I think that our plans for transit in Houston are really going to help.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit more about that, because it's a subject that I discussed with a lot of the folks in the District H election a few months ago. I mean, the current light rail expansion plans are scheduled to be completed basically in 2012, 2013 at the outside. Probably the Richmond line will take longer.
Right.
I mean, if you're elected in November, you'll be in office through 2015. Right now, I mean, what's on the map for Metro's expansion is what there is. You know, where do you want to see Metro go? Where do you want to see Metro do next? take the existing expansion map and say, is that it? Or do you want to do more? Where does Metro go from here?
I haven't studied the neck. I'm excited about what's coming up next between now and 2012. I'm probably not the person today who would plan where the next rails are going to go. I know there's...
Well, let's talk more in general. I'm not saying where would you draw the next line, but in sort of generally, what at a high level do you want to see Metro doing going forward?
I would love to see something fast, like an express, going to Galveston. I know it's been tried before, but I still think that would be fantastic for Houston. One of my goals for Houston is to promote it, and you'll hear many candidates talk about this too, as a destination, and I think that Galveston is definitely part of the greater Houston area and part of why people come to the Gulf Coast area, so I'd love to see that. There are folks in Kingwood who are very interested in having rail go to Kingwood because that's part of the city, of course, and haven't heard those same concerns out in the Clear Lake area. But the city of Houston is much larger than you think about until you start trying to represent the citizens all over the city of Houston. You realize how diverse the neighborhoods are.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the city's financial picture. I mean, they just passed the budget. No major cuts, but a lot of across-the-board small cuts. Obviously, we're not in the best financial shape right now as a country. It has a trickle-down effect on state and local governments. What's your assessment of the city's financial situation and, going forward, how should the city deal with the economic times if, next year and 2 years from now the economy is still not doing well?
Well, I think the city should continue with audits of departments and programs, which the current city controller kind of has been doing more of that than in the past, and I think that's something that I would advocate for, is an audit of programs that possibly are not working or could be combined to better use tax dollars. I come from a business background and a small business background, so I am one for making the most of every single dollar that we get, and I, from my background coming to the city, bureaucracy always seems super inefficient. I know there's a midway point between what a business person feels is the right answer and what actually is doable with a large city. But I think that we're going to have to do the best we can with what we've got, because I definitely do not think that the sales tax can go any higher, and I don't think that taxing is realistic. I think that would be bad for the economy, and particularly for homeowners who already are overburdened. I think that providing amenities and providing the rail is going to be a boost. I think that we have parks that need to be spruced up and revamped, and doing what we can that doesn't cost a lot of money to provide amenities in neighborhoods so that neighborhoods continue to attract people from outside is one way to build the tax base and to build revenue. I think helping small businesses inside the city, we've got some great neighborhoods with great pride of ownership of homeowners, but some of the commercial corridors around some of the older neighborhoods need a shot in the arm, and I think that's another way, by encouraging small businesses to grow, that we can grow the tax base in the city. So I don't necessarily think this has to be a time to go backwards in the city. In fact, I think it's a time, based on the momentum that we've had, if we keep it going with our quality of life issues improving, I think we could actually grow the Houston economy. It's just not a time for, for the wild expansion that we've had in the past decade. But I'm ready for that as as a person running for office and asking for the chance to serve, I'm looking forward to making the most of every dollar.
Okay. City of Houston has recently passed some stricter ordinances regulating signage and other attention-getting devices on businesses. Recently, there was a lawsuit decided against the city over an earlier version of this ordinance that had not been enforced very much, and a business owner who provided these big inflatable balloons mm-hmm. and whatnot won a judgment against the city. As I said, the city is, I don't remember if they have passed or are looking to pass, an extension of that that would further restrict attention-getting devices. Looks like there's going to be a follow-up lawsuit. What's your position on this? Do you think that, philosophically, do you think that the city should be in the business of putting more restrictions on business signage, billboards, which has also been something mm-hmm. that's been done, or do you think that that's not something the city should be doing?
Well, the city, it's an ongoing issue that I know about because I come from a business that is always concerned about how things look, and realtors are notorious about being concerned about curb appeal, which actually entails so many things about a neighborhood. But then on the flip side, now is not a good time to do anything that would make businesses, especially small businesses, have to redo signs. But the attention-getting device ordinance is a little bit different than just signs, and I can't say that at this time I have a strong opinion. It's very tough in Houston because of our lack of zoning, and it's also very tough when people start approaching the idea of the taste police, which God knows we probably need on some of our major corridors. But it's just very difficult at this time in Houston to come up with fair yet equitable ordinances. And I just know the struggle, and I don't know what's going to happen on the attention-getting devices, but whatever happens in the end, I think that it should be enforced evenly across the city. Everybody I talk to, I'll just say this, everybody that I talk to about economic growth in the city says, gosh, we need for the corridors coming in from the airport, down 45 to look better. And I'm all for that. I think we need to think of innovative ways. And I'm not sure just this attention-getting device ordinance is going to do the trick. But I'm ready to work on that. I just don't think there are clear-cut answers at this time.
We'll be electing a new mayor, of course, in November. This person would serve for the same, presumably, 6 years you would if you were elected. Looking back at the almost 6 years now of Mayor White, what sorts of things that Mayor White has done would you like to see the new mayor continue to do? And what sorts of things that Mayor White has done would you like to see the new mayor not do? And maybe what sorts of things has Mayor White not done that you would like to see the new mayor do?
Wow. How long is this interview, Charles? I really, of course, if you read anything on my website, am for the continued greening of Houston. And once again, I'm making a lot of meetings, talking to a lot of people. Some people think it's all a bunch of hooey. I had a guy tell me the other day that recycling actually costs and wastes more to try to recycle than it saves. But I think the neighborhoods that I go to are excited about single stream recycling, and I am too. I hope we get it in our neighborhood. I hope it works out well in the test areas. I was proud that Mayor White filed some lawsuits in regards to clean air. They didn't go anywhere, but I really hope that in the future that the air quality in the city of Houston can be bettered. I'll be an advocate for that and working alongside my state representative, Jessica Ferrer, where I live, who also has many concerns about air quality. Things that haven't been done, there's a lot to do. That's why I'm running for office. I'm sure that's why most of the candidates who are running. It's an exciting time with the prospect of a more expanded rail system. I would love to see some kind of incentive for alternative energy, and I know the city is working on that. We just got our first green building, City of Houston green building built, and it's being used. I think that needs to be expanded. I would like to see more of a focus, if I could, on one thing during my time of service would be to make this a better place for children and families and for youth. And I would like to see more focus on that. Not that the mayor has been remiss, but I think with some things coming online that can be helpful in that, I would like to focus on that. I'm a firm believer in a study that was done by a group called Search Institute, and as I travel around to city park, neighborhood park centers, I see many of them have this list that this institute came up with posted on the wall of our city park community centers, and I truly believe in it. It's called 40 Developmental Assets Needed for Youth to Succeed. And it's a list of 40 things that youth and children need in a community to succeed. You can look at the list, and if you say the youth in this community are not receiving a large portion of these 40 things, you can bet that youth are going to have a hard time making it through school and making it into good jobs and becoming prosperous citizens. So I love that framework, and I will be using it because fully about a third of the 40 assets can be provided by the community, not by the parents and not by the school. Of course, some of them are provided by parents and school, but fully a third at least of the assets that children need are provided by community, and I want to work hard to make sure the city is involved in that.
Okay. Do you have a preference for who you want to be mayor next year?
I think I know who I'm voting for, but I'm excited about the prospect of working with several of them, and I'm trying to approach my race from that standpoint, and the candidates, when I'm out kind of following the forums to meet people, are all very nice and encouraging to me, and so I'm going forward trying to keep an open mind because I really want to have a good relationship, working relationship with whoever wins, and I plan on doing that.
Okay. When people go to the polls this November and they come to the at-large number one race, how do you want them to think about it?
Well, of course, I want them to think of me. I'm the only woman in the race. I have, I think, a good background for serving in this position. I've managed a multi-million dollar budget, yet my concerns for the city hit quite close to home, and I definitely think that I am the candidate best suited and whose heart is in the right place. I have no conflicts of interest, and I hope that they'll vote for me in November.
Okay. Karen Durr, thank you very much for speaking to me today.
Thanks a lot, Charles.